Welcome to Dr. Lisa's SoulCenti podcast. I am Dr. Lisa, and we are continuing today in the MTHFR series. So if you missed the podcast before this, please, please, please go listen to it because I talk about MTHFR and what it is, and also the genetic mutations and variants you can have. So we talked about you can have up to four. We went over all four of them and the different terminology and verbiage that's used today when you're reading about MTHFR and learning about it, because it's quite confusing. So if I'm mentioning some things that you're like, I'm not too sure what that means, just go back to that first podcast in the series. It really helps with it. Okay, so today we are going to be talking about the interpretation of your MTHFR mutation and the link between MTHFR and illnesses. Like, so what does it mean to you? What does it mean that you have it? You find out you have it. What does this mean? So we talked about you can have a heterozygous MTHFR mutation, which is having one copy from one parent, or a homozygous MTHFR mutation, which is having two copies from each, one from each parent, right? And then you can have the mutation, you can have a heterozygous or a homozygous mutation from the, let's say, the 677C, or you can have mutations from the 1298AA. So we talked about all the different ways that you can do that, but we want to now know if you have it, what impact does it have on your life or your body? And we also mentioned in the last podcast that MTHFR mutation can interfere significantly with some important systems of the body and certain pathways. So if there's a problem with converting the folic acid to the natural folate, many dysfunctions or impairments can occur. And that's what we're talking about today. So we said that folic acid is the main thing, F-O-L-I-C. It's a synthetic form of folate. It's in a lot of foods and also vitamins. And if you can't have, you don't have the enzyme, the MTHFR enzyme, to be able to convert folic acid to folate, and you're ingesting folic acid, think of it, I said, as an equation, you know, where if you don't get folic acid converting into folate, you're going to have a buildup of folic acid because now you're not getting rid of it. You're not converting it. And then you won't get enough folate, right? So you're going to have like a seesaw where the folic acid's high and the folate's low. And if you get into this situation, you can have some impairments in the body happen. Now, what causes this situation is if you have an MTHFR mutation, so, you know, what the heterozygous or the homozygous ones that we talked about, you could have, or you're more at risk for, a reduced MTHFR enzyme function. And that can lead to health issues, which we're going to talk about today. You know, what's the impact that it has in the body? One of them is that it could interfere with the liver, and methylation. So the liver detoxification pathway occurs, of course, in the liver, but it requires something called glutathione. And so one of the factors that MTHFR mutations affect is glutathione. So if we don't have enough glutathione in the body, we're not making enough, possibly because we have an MTHFR genetic mutation, then we might have problems with this detoxification pathway that happens in the liver. And it would be due because what glutathione does is it methylates thing. You'll see this word methylation a lot, and it's really just break it down, look at the word methyl in it, and it's talking about adding and removing methyl groups and sulfur groups and stuff like that, but really about methylating something. So that's what the word means. And you're breaking something down into a simpler form. The best way I can describe detoxification, it's super complicated, but the best way I think my patients appreciate me explaining it is you have something toxic in the body and it needs to go through the liver to be detoxified. But what does that even mean? So you have something toxic that really you couldn't get rid of in the form it's in because it's not a safe form. So it's going to be methylated, it's going to be detoxified or broken down into something safer. Usually that safe thing that it's being broken down into is a water-soluble, safer product or, you know, form that you can you know, excrete through your urine, you know, your sweat, your pee, or your feces, right? So it can go through your digestive tract, or it can go through the urinary tract, right? And it has to get to the kidneys too. So you don't want something that's toxic to go through the other systems. It'll just be harmful. So that's what the liver does. The liver is super important, does a lot of things. But that's what this pathway is talking about. I get into it in like my detox courses, and we'll definitely get into detox in the podcast here. But just know that you could be at risk for not having a very good ability to detoxify things. And that's really key. It's very, very important with MTHFR, because if this is happening, you have to be very careful about certain toxins. Heavy metal toxicity is very much a big topic in MTHFR. And that's because if you can't get rid of some of the heavy metals that are coming into your body, and you won't be able to eliminate them, you start accumulating them in the body. And we don't want that. We don't want heavy metals depositing in tissues and areas of the body. And that's another thing. So that could be, you know, one of the issues that occurs with MTHFR, but just having a heavy metal toxicity can cause chronic illnesses and other things. So we see this unfortunately common with children. And I know that what I'm about to share, doctors will say to you, it's anecdotal, and it is, but it's clinical, meaning I see it in my practice all the time, and it's a pattern that I see. So it can't be ignored, you know, and you can't just look the other way and go, no, well, there's not enough research on this. And then there is research on this, but, you know, they will say if, oh, the doctor's saying that, it's anecdotal, it's not proven. So I'm going to share it with you, is that a lot of the children that I have a high patient load of kids on the spectrum. It's because my child, if you learn about my story and learn about me, I became a functional medicine practitioner because of my son who was diagnosed with Asperger's. And so my journey began trying to figure out how to heal his gut, how to fix his gut. And that launched my leaky gut programs, my leaky gut career. And then also what followed was my functional medicine career. So with heavy metals, I have, you know, looking at these kids with Asperger's, autism spectrum disorders, I find that the ones that have more MTHFR mutations, so they might have 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4 mutations. I've never seen 4 out of 4, but the ones that have 3 out of 4, if I test for heavy metals, they pretty much all have them. And so that's, you have to say to yourself, where would a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old get heavy metals? And the number one source would be, you know, obviously food, if you're feeding them foods that are high in heavy metals. But for us, it's vaccines and medications. They get 72 vaccinations before they're, I think, 5, and they get a lot more after that. So they're loaded with metals. And if their liver cannot detoxify and break it down, and maybe fast enough, maybe quick enough in order if they keep giving more, and maybe their foods are high in heavy metals. So think of these compounds. Their environment could be too. I know if they're in a smoking environment where a parent smokes, there's heavy metals in that. So you have to think of the environment. The more toxic load this child has, and if they have MTHFR mutations, they are more at risk for their liver not to have that ability to break down these toxins and eliminate them. So what we see is we do see a toxicity in a lot of these kids, and it's sad. And these are things that it can affect focus and behaviors and, you know, the brain. And they can, if they get to a certain level, cause seizures and all these other problems. So, you know, you're going to say, well, which, you know, chronic illness is MTHFR cause? MTHFR is not really, you know, causing the Asperger's. What it is if you have an MTHFR mutation, you might be at more risk for not being able to break down toxic things in your liver. And so the diet is crucial. The medications and what you're putting in is crucial. The environment the child's living in is crucial. And this goes for us as adults too. I'm just using the children because they're pure, they're clean, and they don't really get exposed as much as us as adults. But this goes for us, for adults. I have people coming in and saying, I have this problem, I have this problem, I have this problem. And we see that the liver's sluggish and it's junked up. They might not be detoxifying well. And that also has to do, if you have MTHFR mutation, plus let's say you drink a lot of alcohol, or you have a high sugar diet, or you have a hormonal issue, or you're going through menopause, there's other things that are gonna slow this liver down too. So high cholesterol is a sign too that we want to look at the liver detoxification pathway. High estrogen, there's just signs that bring me right here. But that's one of the things. Another thing that MTHFR mutations can do is it can create problems, again, with folate, B12, B6, glutathione, and homocysteine. Homocysteine is one of those things that are linked to cardiovascular. So if we see homocysteine climbing up in the lab work, we definitely want to think MTHFR, and we want to reverse that. If I know someone has MTHFR, I want to pay attention to homocysteine. What it means is you're more at risk for cardiovascular disease. So what we have to do, right, is make sure that they eat healthy, make sure that they have a healthier lifestyle. We have to pay attention to homocysteine. We know if someone has a thyroid problem, we're going to see that cholesterol and the LDL start climbing. We want to keep an eye on homocysteine. If they have MTHFR and thyroid, you want to really help this patient out. We have to make sure that the patient's proactive and is watching what they eat. They have a good diet. We want to make sure that there's no vitamin and mineral deficiencies going on. We want to look at their toxic burden, because again, now if you're having cardiovascular issues because of this MTHFR, or you're more at risk for it, we will also want to make sure that you're detoxifying. Smoking, alcohol, drugs, sedentary lifestyle, stress, all these things play a really important role. And we're going to talk about what you can do with this MTHFR mutation in another podcast, but this one is specifically about like some of the impacts it has. What type of chronic illnesses can you have? MTHFR is also associated with the community of Asperger's, autism spectrum disorder. So think about people who have can't focus, the inability to pay attention, some behavioral issues. It's also very commonly found in the community of, you know, anxiety, depression, things like that. And also, again, it is found in with some links with some cancers. According to the NSPedia, which compiles research on genetics, they've seen that the MTHFR 1298AA and the MTHFR 67CC, so those homozygous mutations, so if you're getting it from both parents, they see it, you're more at risk for things like a cleft palate, neural tube defects, some facial asymmetry. So these are some abnormalities that you might see with MTHFR. Or if someone has, let's say, a cleft lip, palate, or a neural tube defect, we want to test for MTHFR to see that. It's also linked to some cancers such as breast, lung, and brain. Also, again, it is associated with cardiac issues and some clots because, again, this MTHFR has this problem with homocysteine. And again, last thing would be neurological things like migraines, headaches, Asperger's, autism spectrum disorders, however you want to phrase that, because I know that depending upon where you are in time and your age, it's been called different things. It's also in the community of Alzheimer's, dementia, memory issues, and then, as we mentioned, anxiety. It is noted, though, that if you have the 1298CC mutation, you're at lower risk for these things than if you have the 67CC, and this is just in the research. It's not anything that I've seen in my practice, but we definitely, that's in the research there. You also want to make sure that your normal activity is present. So what I tend to do as a functional medicine practitioner, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I love to do the MTHFR test with the micronutrient test. I tend to put those together. I don't even like to test MTHFR without it, because what's going to happen if you have MTHFR? The next thing you're going to say is, what do I do? And I'm going to give you a list of things to do. You know, I have a protocol. But what I want to know is, do they have a normal activity when they're converting folate acid to folate, the 5-L-methylfolate? So what I want to do is I'm going to look at your B12, your B6, your folate levels, your glutathione levels. And I can even look at your homocysteine levels, but not particularly in that test. That's in a cardiac test. But I can look at all these levels. And if they're doing well, great. Awesome. That's awesome. So if I'm looking at all these factors, these cofactors that play with MTHFR, and you're doing really well with them, let's say glutathione's doing great, I'm like, all right, your liver is probably methylating well and detoxifying well, and you are at very low risk. Let's keep an eye on this. But here's some of the steps I want you to do to be proactive. And I'll give you a list of five things. So It's really that simple, is taking the MTHFR test, finding out which mutation you have. I interpret that for you. And then we take a look at the cofactors that play. Are you, so tells me how well, or I guess how not well, your MTHFR is working, your mutation's working. So that's really what that's about in the MTHFR thing. And I want to talk about some of, before I end, I'm going to get into the protocol in the next thing, but some of the benefits of it is that it allows you, in my protocol, which we're going to get into, it allows you to look at your lifestyle and really be proactive. So that's when you get the MTHFR genetic mutation, people are like, oh, you know, they get a little sad. I know when I read labs of my own and my kids and their, or my parents and my family, and they're not great. You're like, oh, even my own. I'm like, oh, come on. Right. But look at it as it's a gift in the sense of you're seeing this issue. And now if you just implement 4 or 5 simple things that I'm going to teach you, you can be proactive. And it's really, really important, because then the genetic mutation compromise doesn't really need to happen, or you can prevent it from happening, or you can support the body in helping it as it's going through it. So that's really what I'm going to get into in the next podcast is, okay, we have the MTHFR mutation. You've just learned what it means. Now you understand the impact, but what can you do about it? And how can you be proactive? If you pay very close attention to the next podcast, where I'm going to teach you to implement my MTHFR protocol, these steps will help you begin to push pathways in the body that could be compromised by the MTHFR mutation. And as a result of pushing this, you could possibly prevent nutrient deficiencies, prevent liver detoxification issues, prevent neurotransmitter problems, or fix them, you know, try to start reversing them, start pushing the pathways and helping the body along. So that's what's beautiful about finding out if you have an MTHFR mutation and learning the protocol to deal with them. And so I'm going to get in that in the next podcast. I want to thank you for today. And remember that this does not replace your medical care. And it's not a treatment. This is purely fun educational information for you. I also have an MTHFR, ADHD, and Autism Spectrum Connection Protocol Guide on my website that you can grab. And you can follow that right there as well. Thank you.